Dear Heavenly Father, God, oh, thank you for your only way. Oh, you are the only God. You need to be our vision. God, you need to be, you guide us to that higher ground as we need to seek and search for. And love you and allow you to lead us to. Oh, thank you for these songs. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. God, I pray that as we go to the message now, that you would continue to work, continue to speak. Lord, may I not get in the way, but that you would, your word and your spirit would be here in a mighty way and do a work. And we'll honor you and glorify you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At camp, we've been going through the theme this year of faith over fear. And this is something that God's been working in my life, especially as I'm graduating college and I'm approaching this big transition time. And that's where a lot of staff that are at Southland are at, is transition time. And as I was thinking about this church and the situation that y'all are in, being without a pastor, this is a transition time for you. And transition and change can be a very scary thing. And I thought that the theme of faith over fear would be a wonderful study for us to look at this morning. So we're going to look at a passage that, In the New Testament, look, go to Matthew 14. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. This story is probably, it's definitely one of my favorites. I don't know that I can say it is my favorite, but it's an amazing miracle that Christ does here in Matthew 14. This is where Peter walks on the water. And in this passage, there's three positions, there's three levels of commitment of faith that Peter goes to. And my question for you that I want you to kind of think about as we look and study this amazing miracle in the Word of God is, where does your faith have you? Is your faith one that is over fear, or is your fear over your faith right now? And we're going to see every dynamic of it from in Peter's life in this passage. Before we get into it, I want you to think about this. We talked about commitment, and I've met some families here that have been coming here for a long time, and that seems to be kind of the theme of this church is faithfulness and commitment. And our commitment is the display of our faith in God. And in this passage, Peter's commitment, it goes to three different spots, and it's a direct representation of this faith at that moment. At first, he allows his fear to be overcoming his faith. And then for a part in the middle, his faith actually overcomes his fear. And right in the middle of it, just like in a snap, his fear is once again overcoming his faith. And the life of having faith that overcomes fear isn't a one-time decision, but it's a process. And so as you're evaluating your life right now, where does your faith have you? As you are dealing with the transition of the church, maybe you're in a transition in your own life, as you're taking steps and making decisions, is your faith over your fear, or is your fear over your faith? We're going to start reading, and we're just going to read a couple verses to get us jumped off here. We're going to read in verse 26. We're going to start in 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be be not afraid. You may be seated. Thank you. Out of respect to the Word of God, we stood on. I appreciate that. He said, "Be not afraid." Fear. Okay, fear is the recognition of a potential danger or a potential negative outcome. Some people are afraid of snakes, and the reason that they have fear for snakes is because snakes bite people, and some snakes are poisonous. And I mean, some people, they just do all sorts of crazy things with snakes. That's not me. I'm not interested in playing with snakes. In my opinion, the only good snake is one that's somewhere else or a dead snake. And some people would agree with me on that. But they do have a good purpose in things. But I'm not. I have a healthy fear for snakes and the potential negative outcome that could come there. Some people just have downright irrational fears of like sitting in a service or just, I mean, all sorts of crazy fears out there. But this was interesting as I was studying and thinking about fears that people have. Public speaking is a very common fear, and I'm terrified of public speaking. I don't think that I could ever speak in public. I'm just kidding. But it's a real fear that many people have of public speaking. There's actually a study that was done that people have a greater fear of public speaking than they do of death. Like, there are actually people that, in a way, would rather die than get up in front of some people and speak. And maybe you're like, yeah, that's me. But there's lots of fears. And here, these disciples find themselves in a great storm, and Peter's a part of it. And this first place of his faith we're going to look at is in the boat. Okay, his faith to start out this story in verse 22. He's in the boat, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he was sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's a good thing. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It's a very interesting word to me there, contrary. We'll come back to that. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Up until this point, Peter, the guy we're focusing on, the guy we're analyzing his faith is, it's a very common faith. He's in the group of the disciples. He hasn't been singled out here up until this point in the story. But he's there. He's on the ship. He was following Jesus. He was doing some good things. But yet, we still see that he's scared, and he's fearing. And at this point, his faith is overcome by his fear, to the point when he sees Jesus that he doesn't recognize him. I don't know the full matter of the situation. If you couldn't recognize him, if they just couldn't, if it was like restricted or what, but they didn't recognize this man that they were following for so long. And I just think that's it can be so true. We see people seem to not know things that they knew before when they were afraid. We see people making decisions that they wouldn't have made in another circumstance because of fear. And he's here, and he's displaying this commitment of being in the boat. It's common. He's not doing necessarily anything bad. I mean, he's doing exactly what Jesus told him to. But in the middle of doing what Jesus told him to, there was a storm come up in his life, and he started to fear. And he started to to make decisions that he normally wouldn't have. Had Jesus been on the boat, you know, there's potential that he wouldn't have. There is a story that we see that's not the case with Jesus asleep in the bottom. But there is potential that he could have had faith that, oh, okay, Jesus is with us, and that's what he should have done. But it was a common faith. Everybody was scared and terrified of this wind that was contrary. In our lives, there are things that are contrary to what we stand for, to our faith. I was talking to some gentlemen about the political climate a little bit, and I'm not going to get into that a ton, but we definitely see an increasing amount of opposition, of people and ideas and forces that are contrary to what we're trying to do in our life. And it is an increasing storm. There's other things. You might have some people that you know specifically that are contrary to you. Everyone in here, if you're trying to live for the Lord, there is the prince and power of the air that is contrary to you. If you're saved, you have the new man. You're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you still have your old man. You still have the old man that has to be crucified, and it, the flesh, is contrary to you. The world system, the devil, and our flesh are all contrary, and these are things that we have to battle with, and it's through faith that we have to overcome these things that are contrary. And it was common. So he was doing what the other disciples were doing, and he wasn't acting out in faith. He wasn't allowing that to be displayed. And this is such an illustration in my mind of a lot of Christians' lives. It's kind of just blend in, kind of go with the flow. It's casual. It's a casual, common faith. My dad, I'm from the Dallas area, so please don't hurt me if you're a Saints fan, but he is a staunch Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean, he watches every game, every time he's in his truck. I mean, he drives for his job several hours a day at least, and that radio is always on something about the Dallas Cowboys. And if you know anything about the Dallas Cowboys or about Dallas, there's always something being talked about with the Dallas Cowboys. And he is a committed, faithful Dallas Cowboys fan. Now, I'm not really that way. Now, you might have your team that you're faithful to, and through thick and thin, you're there and you're cheering them on, and you're upset with the bad calls, and you're upset with the bad trades and the bad drafts, and you're excited about the good stuff, and you're hopeful for this next football season starting up here soon. But I'm not that way. I played a little bit of football in high school, and I really like playing football. Don't get me wrong, I like football. But I'm just not interested in following all the trades and following all the draft and watching every game every Sunday. Now, if it's like a big game and it's important, and you know it's like, oh, if they win this, they'll go to the playoffs. Okay, I might watch that. Or if you offered me a paid trip to go to a game, oh, absolutely, I'm gonna jump at that. That'd be awesome. I'm gonna really enjoy that, have a blast, and be there. But when it comes to sports, I'm a casual fan. I'm not committed. I'm not interested in. And in high school, in fact, he's also an OU Sooners fan, okay? And in Texas, that's like, I mean, you're basically from a different planet. Like, the Red River rivalry is real. And, I mean, I would really suffer persecution in my high school for wearing an OU shirt to school. And if I ever saw somebody else, it was like, oh, yeah, you're an OU fan, you know, Boomer Sooner, this is awesome. And it got to the point my junior year that I was done with the persecution, and I was like, I'm I'm not going to stand for this against this contrary wind. I'm not in this for the long haul. Like, if they're in the Big 12 championship, you know, I'll watch that. Or if they make it farther than that, then you know, I'll watch it and I'll root for them. But I'm painting my walls a different color now. Like, I'm done living hardcore OU, and that's how a lot of Christians are living their Christian life. It's a casual thing. On Sunday I'll go with my family, but if they're sick, you know, I'm gonna skip. When I'm at work and everybody's cutting up and laughing at this dirty joke, then, you know, okay, well, I'm gonna blend in and just be calm, and I don't want to be weird. And what that is that's your fear you're letting your fear overcome your faith, and you're allowing that to be common, and you're allowing your Christianity to be casual. And that's not where we want to be. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He comes and he lovingly tells them that they need to change the way that they're thinking. They need to change the way that they're acting, and they need to let their faith overcome their fear. So, is that you? Are you today saying, you know, ooh, that my fear is overcoming my faith, and I'm allowing myself to just be common and casual about living for Christ? Or are you this next one, which is on the water? This is really some cool stuff. Verse 28. And Peter, okay, now Peter's on the scene, individual, answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Ooh, and this is cool. And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. And I love this phrase right here. To go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. This next place is on the water. And this is being full of faith. And this is your faith overcoming your fear. What Peter offered here, his idea here, was crazy. I mean, this was a storm that they were crying and terrified. A bunch of grown men crying, terrified of this storm. Okay, they're in a boat crying and terrified of the storm. This is a bad storm. This is some majorly contrary wind. And when Jesus shows up, he says, "Okay, if you are Jesus, if you are who you're saying you are, then allow me to come unto you." And so, get the picture here. He's in the boat, which is like his only option for survival here. I mean, they were scared for their lives in the boat. And now he is going to abandon everything and put everything on Jesus being who he says he is. And he is going to step out and walk on the water. To go to Jesus. It wasn't to show the disciples that he's something. It wasn't to be able to tell this awesome story when he gets back off of the sea. No, it was to go to Jesus. This faith, this on the water faith, is a courageous and committed faith. This is a faith that says it's all or nothing for me. These fears, these things that I'm terrified of, I'm putting my faith in Jesus is going to overcome these fears. Let's think back to this continent, and it's being discovered by the Western world, by Europe. Now there were people here already, but for most of our ancestors, the Western world coming and exploring, it's pretty cool, and it's shaped our country in a mighty way, and really the world in a mighty way. So there was a group of explorers that were coming, and they were coming into kind of the Mexico, the Central America area, And they got off the ship. It was a long, long journey. And I mean, this is already like this is something that they're setting out to do, and this is very courageous. They're risking their lives just by getting on the boat to come across. So they get on land, and the leader gathers them all together, and he says, "Okay, now everybody, I want you to look at those ships. You see the smoke? See the smoke coming from the ships? Yeah, we're burning the ships. So the only way that you're going to survive is to conquer this land. Your escape, your trip back home, yeah, no, there's no trip back home. There's no plan B. We're gonna make this happen, or we're gonna die. We're gonna be committed here, fully committed, or we're gonna be just totally forgotten." And that was the kind of commitment and courage displayed by people that we really don't have evidence of their faith, and most likely didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were doing this for like their selfish motives of being conquerors and exploring and being awesome. But how much more so with the Lord Jesus Christ on our side do we have room to be committed and courageous to Him? Something that I think is so awesome about this faith is that it wasn't just something he said, okay? He talked about what he was going to do. And he was basing that on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "If it be thou, then bid me come. Allow me to step out and do something that puts my faith in action." This faith that's on the water is not a standstill, just in your mind type of faith. This faith is the faith that makes you do something. And so as you think about your life and as you think about the common casual faith that we looked at first, is this the kind of faith that you see in your life? The faith that's overcoming fear. The faith that has action to it. The faith that's totally committed and courageous. Is that the faith that you see in your life? I don't know each one of you, and so I mean I can't tell you what's going on in your heart or what's going on in your life. But you know you, and you know what's going on, and you know what you're basing your decisions on and how you're living. And so think about that. Would your faith, as we look at Peter's life, would it be on the water? Would it be in the boat? Or would it be in this third place? We're going to look at verse 30. So to go to Jesus, verse 29, it says to go to Jesus, and then 30, but. That's not a good place for a but there, okay? Walking on the water and going to Jesus, that's good. That's where we want it. So this is not a good spot here. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous. The wind in our life can be very, very boisterous. The contrariness of this world, of our flesh, of the devil, it gets extremely boisterous. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." This third place is in the water. It's possible that your faith could have you here where you're trying to live for the Lord. You're trying to not just be casual, comfortable, common Christian, but you're trying. You've stepped out on some things and you've taken some stands and you're doing some things for the Lord, but you're sinking. You're doubting. You're falling away. And you think, "Oh, why is this the way? Why am I in the water? Why am I not on the water?" And the answer is that little but there. It was, you were going to Jesus, you were focused on him, but then you saw the wind boisterous. You're seeing the problems of this world. You're seeing, your focus has been taken from where it should be on going to Jesus, but now it's looking at the wind, and it's causing doubt. See, when he was looking at Jesus, he was full of faith. He believes in who Jesus is, and he's on the water, and then he sees the bills starting to pile up, and he's thinking, I don't think I can tithe. He sees the things that are pulling at his Sundays, and he thinks, I don't have time to go to church. He sees the opposition from his coworkers or his family, and he thinks, I'll back off. Maybe this stand on the Word of God isn't as important as I'm making it out. These are the kind of things that we do that put us in the water, and it's the fear of those things that we begin to sink. Is that where you are? His faith wavered when he saw the waves. When he was going to Jesus, it was strong. His steps on that water were firm. There's no doubt. But then he saw the waves, the wind, and it wavered. He thought, how can I do this? This wind is gonna knock me over. This wave it's gonna overcome me. Maybe there was a wave that came up in between him and Jesus, and he thought, I can't get over this. And he forgot the one who had the power to put him on the water in the first place. And he started thinking, how can I do? He didn't do it at all. He didn't do it in the first place. And the moment he thought, how can I, he began to sink. And that is where Christians, especially ones that are living for the Lord and they're trying to serve him, they find themselves just bobbing out and in of the water. And it's when you get your focus off of the one that put you there in the first place that you begin to sink. But there's good news. You don't have to be in the water. You don't have to be in the boat. You can be on the water and have the courage to allow your faith to overcome your fear. We talked a little bit about Joshua. And Joshua, when I think about courage, I mean, it's hard to not think about Joshua. I think the word courage is mentioned 7 or 8 times in the first chapter. And his life displays it time after time after time of these giant enemies. But he was courageous in leading the people of Israel in their promised land. I've heard it sung about and preached that the promised land is a picture of heaven. And there's some things that I like about that. Heaven is promised to us. Heaven is going to be enjoyable. It'll flow with milk and honey, and there'll be grapes the size of basketballs and things like that. But at the same time, there's things that I don't like about it, because in heaven, there's not going to be any opposition. There's not going to be Amorites all around us. There's not going to be contrary wind in heaven. Heaven will be perfect. And it's not going to be full of sorrow. There will be no sorrow. It's going to be amazing. And the promised land, there are some amazing things about it, but quite honestly, there are some things that are not amazing about it. And it's not, the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. See, God's given us everything to dwell in the promised land of the Christian life, and to be victorious, and to be courageous. But there are Amorites. There is contrary wind. We still have to battle the flesh and the devil and the world. but we can be victorious. We can have victory in Jesus. That's another one of my favorite songs. I don't know if I'd have been able to stop crying if we sang that one too. When we talk about courage and overcoming fear, this is the last thing. There's three quick ways that we can have that fear, that faith that overcomes fear. This is how you have it. One, you claim God's promises. And we've already talked about this several times. This is God's truth applying to your life. So this is be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9, close to it at least. This is going from the Lord is with thee to God is with me. Okay, that is claiming a promise. This promise from the Word of God is applying personally to my life. And then the second thing we do that Joshua was a master of is clinging to victories. Clinging to victories. Things that God has done in the past that you allow to establish your faith. God delivered us on the other side of the flood. I love that phrase. On the other side of the flood, God did it, and God is still the same God that can do it now, and you cling to victories. Victories like what, you might ask? Salvation. We have that victory in Jesus. That is the one that the Israelites clung to the most, of being delivered out of Egypt, being saved from the bondage of sin, being saved from the bondage of Egypt, just like we're saved from the bondage of sin, and we're saved to Christ. We're saved to the victorious Christian life. Salvation is an amazing victory to cling to. Other victories, every victory is of God. And so any victory in your life, find God and cling to that victory. And then lastly, call on Him. Call on Him. We're going to have a time here in a moment where you can call on God. Maybe you're thinking, I am in the boat. I am in the boat, and I need to have this courage and this commitment to face the opposition, to face the contrariness of this world, the flesh and the devil. And you can call on Him. And you can cling to those victories, and you can claim those promises. Maybe you're thinking you're in the water. You've got your eyes off of Him, off of Jesus. And what does Peter do when he's in the water? He looks back to the one that can save him, and he says, "Lord, save me." And that's quite simply what we must do. If we find ourselves in the water, we have to look back and claim the promises of who the Lord is, of His salvation, clinging to those victories. What a short phrase to explain those two ideas of claiming promises and clinging to victories. Lord, save me. And now, if that's where you are, you can have an opportunity. We're going to have a piano play. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. The Lord has worked in a mighty way this morning, and we're thankful for it, God. I pray that you would use this time of invitation and allow this time that we set aside to respond to what you've said to us. Lord, we thank you for the truth of it. I pray that if there's anyone in here that looks at their life and says, "I'm in the boat, and I need to not be common or casual Christian. I need to get serious about this." I pray that they would call on you and get that right. I pray if there's anyone in here that's in the water, Lord, that they would look to you and they would cry out to you, the one that put them there in the first place. Lord, we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray.